Hello, everyone. Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on where you're joining us from. Welcome to the School of Mary at Mary's Hill, Contemplative Divine Will Cenacle. And this is the ebook series, and we're going to begin, as we always do, with prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. We thank you, most holy Trinity, for enabling us to enter into union with you by means of prayer. May your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Fiat. The School of Mary invocation. O Mary, Mother of Mercy, Queen of the Divine Will, please teach us to love Jesus and live in the spirit of our vocation more and more, the spirit of faith, hope, and love, the spirit of obedience and of loving the holy will of God, the spirit of chastity, poverty, and humility, the spirit of mercy and apostolic zeal for the salvation of souls, especially those whom the boundless mercy of your divine Son has entrusted to us. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of the Divine Will, please pray for us. Fiat. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. So again, it's just a joy. We're so grateful to have awakened today, both physically as well as spiritually, and truly blessed to be alive at this time. I know it sounds strange with everything that's going on, but we really are. Jesus tells Louisa in not so many words, you know, as a room becomes darker, it then is much easier to detect and recognize the light. So as everything is falling apart, we recognize that God has thrown us this huge life buoy. This life raft has come out of nowhere, and it's called the gift of the divine will. It'll keep us afloat through the tsunami of what's going to happen, and then will bring us to shore when it all passes, because it's going to pass. It's just amazing that he has chosen this time while we're alive. And again, by design, this is not by chance. This is by design. He sees something in us that we don't see. It's got to be there somewhere. He knows better than we do. So I'm going to unmute Maureen before I forget to. We have got Maureen today. I know everyone's jumping up. Yay, we don't have to listen to him.
Let's see. Am I muted? Do you hear me?
No, you're good. Yeah, you're really
okay,
good.
Okay, good.
Excellent. So we're going to try to actually end on time today. I'm not quite sure what the odds of that are. That's why I don't gamble. But we're not going to talk about the cog, but we know that everything is powered by Christ. We pick up his power. We share the power. Again, those souls entrusted to us, just like we were entrusted to some other souls. And they did what they had to do because we're here. Remember also, to begin this journey, to recognize this gift, it really was a gift from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit planted something in us. It may not have been much, but it was enough to be able to be recognizable when somebody mentioned the divine will, when somebody gave us a book, when somebody showed us a video, whatever it was. God uses humans, but in essence, it was he who disposed us to be alive at this time. And that's great. But with that comes a huge responsibility. And again, I chuckle every time I read that invocation. And those souls entrusted to us, again, I don't know about you, but I can't even take care of myself. But God's going to give us the grace to do that and much, much more. And hopefully we're going to do that today. I'm not going to go through this, but if anyone wants to read about the cog and, again, God's example and explanation of how this works, it's located in volume 16, February 2nd, 1924. One day we'll have time to go through this. I think we did it once briefly, Maureen, which was good. But we don't have time for tonight. But again, if you'd like to, volume 16, February 2nd, 1924, you will not be disappointed. Like anything else, you read in the Book of Heaven. Okay, I'm going to bring the pointer out, and we're going to begin. And this is part two of the Knowledge of the Divine Will on Heaven and Earth. Let's get the pointer out. And we can begin. Thanks, Maureen.
Okay. 4.1.33.2.2.2. Knowledge of the Divine Will in Heaven and on Earth, Part 2. of these souls that not only come to acquire such knowledge of the divine will, but put them into practice with holy desire, the Blessed Virgin Mary will in heaven form the new hierarchy that will be similar to the 9 choirs of angels. For these souls will form the new hierarchy of the heavenly homeland, where there is a place reserved for them that no one else is permitted to occupy.
You know, I just mentioned about trying to end on time, that maybe that's not going to happen. I was just reading something before we went on air. And again, I forgot about what the reading was today. Actually, I didn't read it for a day or two. And I want to read a quote from St. Louis de Montfort, which speaks poignantly about exactly what Father Annuzzi's summary gave us right there. This is from St. Louis de Montfort. Quote, Mary has authority over the angels and the blessed in heaven. As a reward for her great humility, God gave her the power and the mission of assigning to saints the thrones made vacant by the apostate angels who fell away through pride. Such is the will of the Almighty God, who exalts the humble, that the powers of heaven, earth, and hell willingly or unwillingly must obey the commands of the humble Virgin Mary. End quote. If we're not close to Mary, we should do so immediately. And if we are close to Mary, we should squeeze her even more tightly. We need our Blessed Mother. She's marking her children. God has given her the job to do that. She knows. A mother knows. Speaking as a father, you could be the greatest father in the world, but there's nothing like a mother. A good mother is better than a great father. I really believe that, except our Father in Heaven, of course. Talking biological. She's going to take care of us. She's going to be there for our every need. She promises us that. And we know through the Book of Heaven, through the Virgin Mary and the King, through the hours of the Passion, that God has indeed given her this role. Maureen, we do have a footnote here, 899. It's a short one, but let me just preface. If you're joining us for the first time, what we are reading is, this is Father Joseph Iannuzzi's dissertation. Back in early 2000, the Archbishop of Corato asked Father Iannuzzi to translate all of Luis's writings, which he did, from Italian to English. Father Iannuzzi was so enamored, so moved by what he was reading and writing, that he chose to use the Book of Heaven and all of Luis's writings as his doctoral dissertation. So he set out then to take everything that Luisa wrote, everything that she penned, because she didn't write, she wasn't the author, but she was the scribe, really. The secretary, in essence. He had to take everything that Luisa penned, and he had to prove that it was found and grounded somewhere in our Catholic faith, whether it be the patristics, the doctors, the fathers, the magisterium, the catechism, the deposit of faith, it had to be somewhere. And he successfully defended that through the Gregorian University, authorized by the Holy See. So what we have here is we have all of Luisa's writings summarized by Father Iannuzzi. Then he grinds us and points us right into the volumes as to where he obtained his summary from. He corroborates it through Jesus and Mary's words. So in essence, we have everything that we need at this time as we await the critical edition of the volumes. Remember, the typical edition is done. There's some questions that need to be answered. There's some ambiguities, not errors. Don't get me wrong. There's no errors in the writings, but there's some ambiguities. The church has to know everything to be able to present this perfectly, seamlessly. And there's some work that has to be done there. So that has to be done. We don't know how long that's going to take. They need the right personnel to do that. And they haven't obtained that personnel yet, we pray. But in the meantime, we do have this fully approved, authorized by the Holy See, a summary by a theologian, grounded in the volumes, again, this opens the door. Ultimately, Jesus and Mary are the teachers. But Father does a great job to bring us right to the teacher's desk. Okay, so 899, just to bring us up to speed, that would be, I guess I'll read the whole sentence. For these souls will form the new hierarchy of the heavenly homeland, where there is a place reserved for them, for us, that no one else is permitted to occupy. 899.
Which is the same thing you just read, I think. Volume 30, December 21st, 1931. These souls will form the new hierarchy of the heavenly homeland, where there is a place reserved for them that no one else is permitted to occupy.
It just sounded good to hear it again. Mm-hmm. So I mean, we've heard Father Celso talk about this. Think about that. I mean, this is like, you know, going somewhere and having a room with your name on it. Nobody else is allowed in that room. And that's beautiful. The fact that God even knows our name, he knows us. But let's look at the flip side of that. Okay, let's say that room, that door has our name on it. And what if we don't show up? What if we don't do what little we're asked to do? What if we don't cooperate with God? What if we don't embrace this gift and make it our all like he asks? That room remains empty. It's reserved for us. So as the night watchman, maybe it's the Blessed Mother or St. Michael who walks around and checks all the rooms, he recognizes and the whole of heaven recognizes that our room with our name on it is vacant. We never made it. Think about that. I'd rather not. That's 899. Next one is, this is interesting. Maureen, I gave you a lot more work to do here. Father Iannuzzi in footnote number 900, he just gave us three volumes. This is basically, you know what we'll do? Why don't we read it first and then we can tackle 900.
Having acquired on earth such knowledge of the divine will and exemplified it through the repetition of their divine acts, these souls will come to form the highest choir in heaven and will have the noble title of children of the kingdom of the divine will, whom Jesus etches in his heart with indelible characters.
Now, we're hearing things that really are amazing. I think, you know, Maureen, some of which is a test. I think it's a test of our humility. I mean, think about this. We're told that we're being given places that are only ours. We're being elevated to this new hierarchy. We're going to be a choir, an elevated choir in heaven. Have the noble title of the children of the kingdom of the divine will. Actually, it's a beautiful group in the Philippines. I believe their name is Children of the Divine Will. That's the Senecal name of their group. And then Jesus etches in his heart with indelible characters, us. That's in of itself is a test. But this explains, I think, a little bit, Maureen, about the magnitude of what Jesus is speaking about. He's not talking about his humanity again. Yes, he does give us more information. He does explicate his time on earth and his humanity. The gift of the divine will, in essence, we're learning the interior life of Christ, which is nowhere to be found in its totality, like it is in the Book of Heaven, in the hours of the Passion, in the Virgin Mary and the Kingdom. This is all new, but yet it's not new. And I think we just talked about this on Radio Maria. Article 66 of the Catholic Catechism states that although there are no new public revelations expected before the glorious return of our Lord, it is for the generations to better understand what has already been given. So we're learning more fully about what we've already been given. We're understanding it to a greater degree. And then Article 67 talks about the work of the mystics. The work of the mystics is not to improve nor to complete public revelation. On the contrary, but it is to allow us to grasp a greater understanding for a particular time. And the time is now. So everything is set up, everything is structured, everything is protected within our Catholic faith already. It's ready to receive this gift. The only problem is the human will has to be put on the back burner. And once that happens, I think we're all going to be moving forward more quickly than we ever imagined. But that's footnote number 900, noble title of children of the kingdom. And what Father did here was he only gave us he gave us three passages, and you see them there. I just wanted to take a look at one, and I opened up the first one, which is volume 23, February 28th, 1928. And I think it's really important because it explains a bit about St. Hannibal and about his work on earth, and then his subsequent continuation of work in heaven. And Louisa has the same job too. You know, her job doesn't end once her life on earth is over. And God he's endowed us for this same scenario. Whatever we have done here, we're going to sort of take a pause, take our journey, and then continue from afar, but yet not so far, if we really think about it. So that is 900. And Maureen, it's a long one, but it's really worth it. And then I want to just do a quick passage from volume 12 that correlates exactly to this after you're done.
Okay. Volume 23, February 28th, 1928. Just as God has the hierarchy of angels in heaven with nine distinct choirs, so will he have the hierarchy of the children of his kingdom with nine more choirs. Condition of the late confessors and how the memory of Father de Francia will not be extinguished in this work. I was thinking about the holy divine volition, and a thousand thoughts crowded my poor mind. They seemed like many stronger lights that were arising, which then unified themselves with the same light of the eternal sun of that fiat which knows no setting. But who can say what I was thinking? I was thinking about the many knowledges spoken to me by Jesus on the divine will, and how each of them brings a divine life into the soul, with the imprint of a rarity of beauty, of happiness, but distinct from one another, which it places in common with one who has the good of knowing it and of loving it. So I thought to myself, one knowledge more or one less, there will be a great difference between one soul and another. So I felt sorrow in remembering my late confessors, who had so much interest in making me write what blessed Jesus would tell me on the divine will. I felt sorrow for Venerable Father de Francia, who had made so many sacrifices in coming from far away, meeting expenses for the publication. And just when things were moving forward, Jesus brought him to heaven with himself. So, since these did not possess all that regards the fiat, they will not possess all the lives and rarities of the beauty and happiness which these knowledges contain. But while my mind was wandering amidst many thoughts, such that if I wanted to tell them all, I would be too long, my sweet Jesus stretched out his arms within my interior, and spreading light, he told me, "My daughter, just as I have the hierarchy of angels with nine distinct choirs, so will I have the hierarchy of the children of the kingdom of my divine fiat. It will have its nine choirs, and they will distinguish themselves from one another according to the varieties of beauties which they have acquired by knowing, some more, some less, the knowledges that pertain to my fiat. Therefore, each additional knowledge about my divine volition is one new creation which it forms in creatures of happiness and of unreachable beauty, because it is a divine life that runs within it, bringing within itself all the shades of the beauties of the one who manifests them, and all the keys and sounds of the joys and happinesses of our divine being. And do you think that the memory of Father de Francia has many sacrifices and desires to make my will known to the point of initiating the publication will be extinguished in this great work of my divine fiat only because I brought him with me to heaven? No, on the contrary, he will have the first place, because by coming from far away, he went as though in search of the most precious thing that can exist in heaven and on earth, of the act that glorifies me the most, or rather, will give me complete glory on the part of creatures, and they will receive complete goods. He prepared the ground so that my divine will might be known, so much so that he spared nothing, neither expenses nor sacrifices. And even though the publication did not have its completion, by even just initiating it, he prepared the ways so that one day the work of my will in the midst of creatures can be known and have life. Who will ever be able to destroy the fact that Father de Francia has been the first initiator in making known the kingdom of my will? And only because his life was extinguished, the publication did not have its completion? So, when this great work becomes known, his name, his memory will be full of glory and of splendor, and he will have his prime act in a work so great, both in heaven and on earth. In fact, why is there a battle going on, and almost everyone yearns for victory, to win in withholding the writings on my divine fiat? Because he had bought the writings with himself in order to publish them. Had it not been so, who would have talked about it? No one. And if he had not made others comprehend the importance, the great good of these writings, no one would have interested himself. Therefore, my daughter, my goodness is so great that I reward justly and superabundantly the good that the creature does, especially in this work of my will, which I so much care for. What will I not give to those who occupy and sacrifice themselves in order to place in safety the rights of my eternal fiat? I will exceed so much in giving as to make heaven and earth astonished. On hearing this, I thought to myself, if these knowledges contain so much good, if blessed Jesus continues after my death with more knowledges on his fiat to other souls, will a work so great not be attributed to that work? And Jesus, moving as though hurriedly in my interior, added, No, my daughter. Just as of Father de Francia, it will be said that he has been the first propagator, and your confessors have been cooperators. So it will be said that the little daughter of my will has been the first and the depository of a good so great, to whom it was entrusted and who was chosen with a special mission. Suppose that someone has made an important invention. It might be that others propagate it, diffuse it more, imitate it, expand it. But no one will be able to say, I am the inventor of this work. It will always be said, the inventor was such and such. The same will be with you. It will be said that the origin of the kingdom of my fiat, the depository, was the little daughter of my will.
I thought that to be important for a couple of reasons. Number one, we don't speak much about St. Hannibal de Francia, and there's so much to learn and then to know of him. His reflections in the Hours of the Passion are unbelievable. Please, if you don't have a version of the Hours of the Passion that has St. Hannibal's reflection, get one. You know, go online. You can download ours for free. He drives us right to where Jesus wants us to be, intellectually, morally, and humanly. His life is not over when his life on earth is over. And Jesus makes this a point for Louisa and for all those who are linked to Louisa. This job continues forever. There's never an end to it. Another really important thing is that during this reading that Maureen just read, many times, I think about at least three times, it mentions that St. Hannibal is the first. He is the initiator. I'm trying to look for the one. Do you remember the word exactly, Maureen? I'm trying to think. Here. He has been the first propagator. So he's the first. And he's a priest. And I think that's really important because, you know, Father Celso has been giving a series that began 2 weeks ago on the role of the priesthood in the divine will. And it speaks about the importance of the priesthood, which, again, nobody can challenge. It is vital because the priest's job is to bring us back to the order, the place, and the purpose. But some have indicated, you know, through email or phone calls, that they believe it's only the priest that's going to be living in the divine will and then showering those gifts to all the laity. That may not be true. We don't know exactly how this is going to work out, but we do know exactly what Jesus says. Okay, so let's just talk about this. St. Hannibal is the first propagator. He's the first one to bring the work to make these knowledges published. He's the first. In volume 12, January 24th, 1921, our blessed Lord says, quote, "So shall the third fiat be. It shall germinate with you, Louisa. The ear of grain shall be formed. Only the priest shall have knowledge of it." We just proved that that was St. Hannibal de Francia. Jesus has already acknowledged that. First, only the priest shall have knowledge of it. Then, a few souls. He didn't say only the priest shall have knowledge of it, and then a few priests. He said, so shall the third fiat be, it shall germinate within you, Louisa. The ear of grain shall be formed. Only the priest shall have knowledge of it, then a few souls, and then it shall spread. It shall spread and shall follow the same path as creation and redemption. So the field is open. The first step has already been satisfied. Saint Hannibal de Francia, Saint Hannibal de Francia was the first. He was the priest to have knowledge of it. Now Jesus says a few souls are. We pray that we are among those few souls. And also more priests. But don't be discouraged. Remember, the ministerial priesthood is formed to serve the common priesthood. Adam was a common priest, and that's where we're returning to. Yes, we're always going to need the ministerial priesthood as we make this journey and we go in and out. But there's a lot that God wants to give to souls. And that may be us. I just think that that's astonishing in of itself. If you're joining us for the first time, everything that's on the screen here, if you're having difficulty making notes or writing things down, everything will be copied and pasted and placed in the on the website under the Seneca Blog 2 page, and you'll get an email to that effect. So you'll be able to print it out, reread it, and make your notes then in case you can't. Sometimes I speak too fast. I gloss over things. But and there's so much there. Maureen, I don't know, anything else that you want to share that, and I just don't know where to start. I wanted to make.
there is so much. I mean, it's all beautiful. What can you say?
And if you don't know, St. Hannibal de Francia was also the spiritual director to Melanie Calvert, the seer mm-hmm. or the visionary of Our Lady of La Salette, a fully approved mm-hmm. Apparition within our Holy Catholic Church. So St. Hannibal is quite a unique priest, quite a unique saint. And again, he was with Louisa for, 17 years or 19 years? Mm-hmm. I forget, but he knew Louisa very well. And of course, if there was any glitches during his canonization with regards to the divine will, it would have been caught, and it was not. He's a saint. Louisa will be one shortly. So that's 900. We can go back up, and 901. 901 is... whom Jesus etches in his heart with indelible characters. And I don't know if 901 has a... it does. Okay, it indelible does. Characters. Jesus.
Okay. Volume 36, May 10th, 1938. daughter of my pains, would you like to know who spares me the affliction of arduous sufferings? The soul who lives in my will. What is more, as this soul decides to live in my will, I name it my daughter. I call all of heaven and the Most Holy Trinity to celebrate my new daughter. Everybody knows her because I write her name in my heart with indelible characters. I write in my ever-burning love, my daughter. She remains always with me in my will, and whatever I do, she does. She rises again with me in my continuous resurrections, and if human ingratitude makes me cry, I write in my heart, daughter of my birth. When she cries with me, I write even through my tears, daughter of my tears. In sum, if I suffer, work or walk, I write, daughter of my pains, works or steps, and I bring her everywhere, etched in my heart.
Again, there are certain things that Jesus relates to Louisa, that's just for Louisa, as the head of this introduction to the creature on earth. But there are certain things he tells Louisa also that are appropriate and intended for us as well. We just read moments ago that there'll be a place mark in heaven for those souls living the divine will in that new hierarchy. Yeah, we made a joke, that the angels are out there right now making name tags or making plaques for the doors with their names on them. It's really interesting. We'll also be, if we're going to be etched in a piece of plaque, we're going to be etched in Jesus' heart as well, well before that happens. And you may say, I know I say this often, how can we nobodies be etched in our blessed Lord's heart? Yeah, I remember when our blessed mother visited Elizabeth. She says, how can the mother of God come to me? This is all mystical. This is way beyond normalcy. This is not normal. Well, it is normal to God, but not normal to us. But it will be very soon. We have a job to do. And we've been called out from all the souls that have already lived, that are living now, and will live before the end of time. He's decided to make this time the time to make this gift available to everybody. How blessed are we? Can we ever have a bad day again? Yes, granted, there's going to be some days better than others. We can never have a bad day. But we have to make good of whatever day we have today, because we don't know when our last day will be. We remember what the souls in purgatory, one of their greatest remorses, if you want to call it a remorse, was not making better use of the time while alive on earth. We can correct that now. We can't add hours to the day. There's always going to be 24 hours to our day. But we can start reallocating our time, getting rid of the frivolous things, especially the nonsensical things like worry and things like that. But how about the other things also where we waste time, whether it be with television or sports or I'm not saying all those things are bad, but none of those should be our life. God wants this to be our life and incorporate everything that he's given to us within that. So if we're going to watch TV, let's just watch ourselves in this magnificent performance that God has authored. He's the director. He's the producer. He's the author. He's the actor and he's the spectator. We just cooperate. How great is that? I don't want to say about that. Okay, that's 901. And we've got one more part of this paragraph. How are we doing on time? We're actually doing pretty well, Marie, right?
Okay, yeah.
We'll see.
Just as the different choirs of angels are established according to the varying degrees of the knowledge and the qualities that they possess, likewise, the souls who live in the divine will form the highest choir in heaven according to their degrees of knowledge and the qualities that they possess.
Again, we have Father's summary, really steeped in these formation of these choirs of angels, this hierarchy, which again is a bit difficult, at least for me, to understand. But Jesus speaks about this often in other mystical writings as well. And it's not that we work hard for the sake that we get, like we're vying for the penthouse. No, that's not why we're working hard. Because as we work hard, as we gain in knowledge, we're going to appreciate everything that God is and everything that he's doing and has done for each and every one of us. And as we appreciate God more, we love God more. And if we love God more, we want to serve God more. So again, everything, one fuels the other. And this is what allows us to grow in our virtues, which Jesus says is our anchor. You know, we're journeying in the divine will. We get anchored by our virtues. And just like a mountain climber, well, before he or she takes a rest, we'll dig in, make sure that they don't slip downward, take their rest, not losing any ground. So we get anchored and then we move forward from there. I remember too, we talked about this again on Radio Maria a couple weeks ago about how do we exercise our virtues? How do we grow in virtues? Well, we need actually, Jesus says, we need examples. We need circumstances. We need obstacles. We need problems really to navigate around and to be conscious to respond to situations and not react. So next time a cross comes our way or a situation that doesn't seem very favorable, it's a test. It's an opportunity to grow in virtue. Because without that test, our growth would be null. It wouldn't be there. So I guess the more God throws at us, for lack of a better word, the more opportunity we have to gain in grounding, in standing, and I guess in stability all the way around. Okay, so that's 902 and 903. I forget which one has words, but let's just try 902. Just as the different choirs of angels are established according to varying degrees of the knowledge and the qualities that they possess. That's 902. Is there anything there? Yes, there is.
Volume 17, October 30th, 1924. But do you know why there are different choirs of angels? One superior to the other? There are some which are closer to my throne, and do you know why? It is because my will revealed itself in one single operation, but to some with one single extension of knowledge and qualities, to others with two, to some with three, to others with four, and so on, up to nine choirs. And with each additional manifestation of the one operation of my will that they received, some became superior to others, and the first ones, more than the others, were capable and more worthy of remaining closer to my throne.
And again, I think this reminds us also that as we read, this sounds great, but it's nothing really we've done. There's no way we can earn any of this. It's way beyond that. In fact, I don't have it available, but Father Anuzzi gives us a little bit of a paragraph on mystical gifts. And in essence, the whole gift of the divine will is one huge mystical gift. And Father reminds us that mystical gifts, unlike our baptismal gifts, which are given equally, mystical gifts are actually given unequally to whomever God wishes, to whatever level God desires. It's really God's good pleasure. It's nothing we've done. It's nothing we've earned. It's nothing we've banked, so to speak, to deserve it. No, none of us deserve. But God has gifted mystical gifts to individuals, some more, some less. It doesn't matter the quantity. As long as we have just one, that's all we need. And we've been given the one mystical gift. We've been given the introduction to the divine will and actually a second mystical gift in addition to the introduction to the gift of the divine will is we have some seed of disposition to acknowledge it as being something spectacular. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here. It's Friday evening or Saturday morning. There's a lot of things to do. So he's already given us this mystical gift. And he promises through the volumes to give us more. But he's going to give us more only when he's sure we want it. Because when we want it, he's sure it's going to be protected, safeguarded, and then shared. Of course, used. So we've been given mystical gifts already. Nothing we've earned. Nothing we've done. And he vows and promises to give us more, commensurate to our desire. He says it desires work. It needs work. It's depending on our work. Well, what is our work? Our work is to grow in the knowledge so that we may increase our desire, so that we may grow in love for our Lord, so that we may decide to serve him or want to serve him more. And when we serve our Lord, we're serving each other. Best way to actualize the communion of saints is to love God, right? And then love your neighbor as you love yourself. It's all here. It really is. If we really look at it, it's really very easy. But each and every one of us, including me, we overcomplicate things. We try to look past or try to outsmart, this is what it is. God speaks very plainly. He's speaking to Louisa with a first grade education, intentionally, by design, so that the words he used for Louisa, he can use literally for each and every one of us. And if we can't read for whatever reason, we have all the volumes, Hours of the Passion, Virgin Mary of the Kingdom, almost everything, all the letters, all the audiobooks, on our website, queenofthedivineworld.org. It's all there. God's given us everything. 903 is one of those instances where a father just gives us a volume, which is 23, and the date, February 28th, 1928. Not that it's insignificant. On the contrary, perhaps he decided that there was nothing he could extrapolate out that would make sense in of itself or by itself. He wants us to read the entire passage. And that was basically form the highest choir in heaven according to their degrees of knowledge and the qualities that they possess. Again, the qualities, the virtues, the amount of love. St. Hannibal's the first. Volume 12, January 24th, 1921. Quote, so shall the third fiat be. It shall germinate within you, Louisa. The ear of grain shall be formed. First, only the priest shall have knowledge of it. Then a few souls. And then it shall spread. It shall spread and shall follow the same path as creation and redemption. End quote. I'd like to end it before turning it over to Maureen, if she has any comments, with a quote by Jesus from Volume 13, December 5th, 1921. Our blessed Lord reminds us and explains to us, quote, the work is already done. There is nothing left but to make the divine will known, so that not only you, but others also may take part in these great blessings. It's already done. Mystical gifts have already been given. More is to come, yes, but the ones needed and necessary to get us started have already been given. It's really up to us. We either accept them, and if we accept them, there's a contingency to accept them. We have to do some work. Jesus explains to us that everything has been veiled since Adam fell. And I love the analogy, veiled. Let's say someone leaves a big house and they leave for good. Well, they leave for a long time. Everything gets covered. Sheets get thrown on the furniture, the bookcases, everything gets veiled, covered. Now we walk in. And we want to conduct an audit. We want to find out what's in this house. How do we do it? We have to start unveiling things, right? We have to uncover them. What's under this? What's under that? But we have to want that. We have to desire that. If we don't care what's under it, then we just walk by it. That's a nice sheet. It's a nice blanket. He wants us to peek under. He wants us to take it off. He wants us to dust it off. He wants us to use whatever's there. Because all of what's been left for us in that mansion, metaphorically speaking, is for us to grow. Grow where? Grow closer to him in his kingdom, on earth as it is in heaven. It doesn't get any better than this. I don't know what else to say. Maureen, anything to add, please?
Just that this is such a message of hope. And the world is such a mess right now. But you think to yourself, yes, but the divine will, the kingdom's coming. And you just wish that everybody knew it for that reason, because you could get depressed looking around, but like Father said, evil has to exhaust itself. And then the kingdom is coming. And we have a say in how quickly it comes. I mean, that's huge. Like when I was walking today, I'm like, oh, I have to walk with every step. Lord, may your kingdom come. Like you have to remind yourself, you know, how the little things that we do, the kingdom's hanging up here. It's coming down. And we have a say that the kingdom will come quicker. And what a place to, you know, God's calling us to a lot of good things. And they're easy. Like you said, they're easy, like the parables. He makes it easy for us. And you know, when we look too far away and Jesus is saying, oh, I'm standing right next to you and you're looking out there in the horizon. I'm right with you. I'm helping you understand. I'm reading with you. I'm speaking with you, you know. So it's such a message of hope. I thank God for it.
It certainly is. And I want to close also on a quote by St. Emily de Valier, as she was the founder of the Sisters of St. Joseph of the Apparition. One of the things that she said was, quote, what does it matter who sows or who reaps, provided the harvest is abundant? End quote. We're all in this together. We all play our little part. It's all a little part, no matter how much we think we're doing. We're doing very little. We just want to make sure we keep doing a little until God gives us more. And then be ready to accept more if he decides to give us more. Again, these mystical gifts, we don't know when and how they're going to come or how frequently or how large they're going to be. But he guarantees they're going to keep sending them as we grow in the knowledges, as we grow in our love and our affection, our appreciation, our thanksgiving. All those things that God is waiting for us to burst with. It's been dormant for 6,000 years, but we're finally letting it explode again. So that's all we have right now. I just want to make mention before I forget. In about an hour from now at 9 o'clock Eastern time, we will have with us Reverend Father Joseph Leo Iannuzzi, actually in about an hour and 10 minutes. So at the conclusion of this cenacle, we'll go back to Poland for adoration and we'll pray the rosary again at 8:25. Father will be with us, Iannuzzi, from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. this evening in about an hour. And then on Sunday, scratch that. We will have with us Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will coming to us live via live stream from Italy. And that'll be 2 p.m. on Sunday, November 7th. This is a quote too. I can't stop the program without reading this. This is In Search of the Soul. Don't know much about Horatio Dressler, but I just love this line, quote, "We shall be deeply grateful that our life has been just what it has been, since it has given our soul opportunity to develop," end quote. Yeah, we talked about those obstacles, those opportunities to grow in virtues. Our life has been riddled with them. They looked bad at the time, but we look back now. And I guess without those situations, we probably would not be here today. I think that's a safe assumption to make. Okay, so we're going to pray with this beautiful anonymous prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. From the center of the heart of God, let the entire earth, every person and every being be blessed with divine love and kindness. Let the entire earth, every person and every being be blessed with divine sweetness, divine joy, with warmness, caringness, and tenderness. From the center of the heart of God, let the entire earth, every person and every being be blessed with inner healing, inner beauty, divine bliss, and divine oneness. All of this we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. See everybody in about an hour and 10 minutes with Reverend Father Joseph Leo Iannuzzi. Love everyone.
Thanks, Peter.
Thanks, Peter. God, thank you, Maureen. God bless everyone.
Thanks for all you do. Bye-bye.